864-266-7131 for a free estimate today. Make the call, schedule an appointment, and say bye to the junk. It's that easy. 864-266-7131.
Local Q is the place to connect for food, friends, and fun. Have you made plans for brunch? Local Q has expanded their brunch menu to include a barbecue Benedict, house-made corned beef hash, and many more items to beat that hangover. Wash it down with a mimosa pitcher or our classic Bloody Mary. Keep the fun going with a little friendly competition. It could be one of their hundreds of nostalgic board games, pool, ping pong, Jenga, darts, or cornhole. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
Tax refunds are on their way, and we know you want to stretch your money as far as you can. At the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, we want to help. Right now, buy a brand new Beautyrest or Serta mattress for everyone in the family with discounts up to 70% off our everyday low pricing. And that's not all. Through February, receive an additional 10 to 15% off select Serta models during our Serta clearance sale. Don't miss out on these deals. Open 7 days a week. The Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
Listen closely. This is the sound of transformation. The sound of digging deep and doing what you didn't think was possible. It's happening now at the YMCA of Easley Pickens in Powdersville. Equipment, programs, instruction, friends. The Y is so much more. Special new member discounts are available for a limited time.
Clemson wins 77-70.
What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? Yeah, that didn't work out very well.
Nah.
No. Not one of my finer moments.
Nah, no,
I was a little disappointed in that deal. I thought they would play better at home. I mean, they've played well at home for 2 years. Now, there's a ton to get to in this regard, but yeah, I had it 77-70. I think Florida State got to the 77, but Clemson was,
nowhere near the 77. And you knew early on that they weren't going to get near 77 based on that first half offensive performance. They just didn't make any shots. I mean, were they like 9 of 30? I mean, it just didn't make any shots. We had about 4 or 5 shots roll off the rim. But, here's the thing. The Florida State team that I saw last night was not the Florida State team I saw 8 games ago. Maybe I should have anticipated that. But yesterday morning, I went back and watched the condensed version of the prior Clemson-Florida State game. And I picked up a number of things that I thought would be instrumental in last night's game because I thought Florida State was the same team. They were not. They guarded significantly better last night than they did in the game in Tallahassee. Way better. In the game in Tallahassee, there were open guys all over the place. Mitchell had carte blanche to drive through the lane. He was getting through the lane. He was setting up Amir Sims. Remember yesterday, Ramona, I talked about one of the factors I thought would be Nichols, who put up who put up 16 points in the game in Tallahassee. And I said I found it highly unlikely that he would be a guy who beat Clemson again. That I did not think he would put up 16 points here. He did, and he put up 3. So he went from 16 to 3. So that part of my plan was correct. That part of my little plan was correct. The problem part was that Amir Sims went from 18 to 7. Sims had 18 in that first game. He had 7 last night. And so that effectively reduced the value of negating Nichols. But one thing we talked about yesterday was going to be the need to be able to control your defensive backboard. And Clemson was not able to do that. Florida State killed Clemson on the boards, second, third shot opportunities, and really that was the difference in the game. Florida State shot a high percentage as well. They shot like 48%, and Clemson's obviously been significantly better than that from a defensive field goal percentage standpoint of late, but also Florida State is just a better team. I mean, and when you watch them last night, if Florida State's going to play like that, they're going to be hard to beat. First of all, if that team is going to knock down threes and hit 7, 8 threes a game, it's going to be really difficult to beat them because that improves their court spacing. That improves the turf that the big men have to work. And no one can handle Kevin Galley one-on-one. Kevin Galley, I mean, what's remarkable about him is his touch. I mean, I don't know how many times yesterday he would back down to like 10 feet, 12 feet, and just turn around like old Elvin Hayes style with that turnaround jump shot, and it was just money. Like every time. I mean, he played 21 minutes at 19 points, 11 rebounds. I mean, that's incredibly productive. Here's the thing. I felt sorry for Elijah Thomas last night. And the reason I felt sorry for Elijah Thomas is it was Elijah versus all that size. And he got no help. None. There was no help off the bench. The entire bench produced how many field goals, Ramona? How many field goals did the bench produce? How many buckets off of the bench?
I'm going to say none.
None is actually the right answer. Not a single field goal off the bench. Jameson came in for like 2 minutes and was pulled. Elijah Thomas had to play 34 minutes, got no relief, had to battle the Giants of Florida State by himself all night long. And quite honestly, he got Texas says, yeah, Walt, Big E referenced the Bullets. Here's the thing. Someone else has got to help him on the boards against a team like Florida State. Scar was trying to mix it up, but I'm sorry. I know he's still a young player, but Amir Sims, come on, man. You know, you got to get on the glass. You got to mix it up. You're not a 3. Look, all year we've known that one of the deficiencies Clemson has had is just in shooting the basketball. But as much as that was a problem last night, I really felt like what Clemson missed last night was a glass-eating power forward to play alongside Elijah Thomas. Somebody could help him off the boards, help him mix it up. Because I felt like Elijah was giving you everything he had. He was just being overwhelmed by the collective depth and size of Florida State. Elijah Thomas, not only one of the best post players in the country, you can make a strong case he should be first team all ACC. He's Clemson's best player. But, you know, he always has this issue of foul trouble because, you know, one of the things that's really disconcerting are the fouls in trying to create offensive post position. I mean, I get that the rules have changed, but come on, man. I mean, you've still got to be able to post up without every time you do it being a foul, an offensive foul. But Thomas has to have some help. And Amir, I know, follows him around and everything else. And look, Amir is still a young player. But you got to mix it up more. I mean, I'm watching Thomas in there battling all those big guys, and the only guy I'm really seeing in there, the only other guy I see in there competing for rebounds is Scara. Now, Reed's a very good rebounder from his position. But when you play a team with Florida State size, I mean, it's like the land of the Giants, and they just keep coming, they keep coming, and they keep coming. And Elijah Thomas is out there by himself battling all those cats. And so my first thought was I felt sorry for him because I just didn't think anybody stepped up to help him. And Clemson needs more out of Amir Sims. You're going to play all those minutes. Clemson needs more out of Amir Sims. He's got to become a more physical factor because he's not using his body. He's playing like a three. He's playing like a three. He's not using his size and strength and muscle. He's not using it at all. Clemson needs him to be aggressive physically. Physically aggressive. He's got the body to be physically aggressive. But it is not happening. And it needed to happen last night. It needed to happen last night. And going forward, I mean, if you were to play a ton of minutes, man, you got to mix it up. Physically have to become more of a factor. Not just a spot-up three-point shooter. Not just a spot-up three-point shooter. Clemson needed a four last night. They needed a physical four who would eat glass and help Thomas battle. And that was disappointing to me. Now, you know, part of why the bench didn't score is they didn't play very much. I mean, Trapp had a difficult game. What was Trapp? 0 for 8? That didn't help. To get no offensive production out of Trapp didn't help. But, you know, it's funny, Ron, I still thought there was a chance. Clemson cut it to 7 in the second half. And the reason I thought there was a chance was because Florida State committed a ton of fouls really early in the second half. Clemson was shooting the double bonus like 10 minutes left. And I thought, there's the chance. You got back in it, you're down 7-8 points, and anytime you get fouled, you're going to shoot free throws. But from that point on, I didn't think Clemson really forced contact as much. At that point, you have to be willing to drive the ball and create contact. And there wasn't enough of that. Didn't take full advantage of Florida State committing all those fouls early in the second half. And I thought that was problematic. But I think going forward, I would like to see Amir Sims become a more physical player. Now, I don't know if it's within his character. I don't know if it's within who he is. And part of it is this role he's playing. I didn't think the court spacing was as good as in the first game either. But, you know, look, I give Florida State credit because I thought last night they looked like a team that could potentially get to the Final Four. I mean, that's the best I've seen them look all year. And again, if they have so many athletes and so much length, and Kevin Galley gets better every time I see him take the court. That cat has improved dramatically from the beginning, and he is hyper-productive now. Look, I thought one of the big moments in the game was, I don't know the exact time, but Clemson had cut it to 7 and had a really good defensive possession and forced Florida State into a bad shot. And Kevin Galley rebounded it. I can't remember if it was an air ball or nicked the rim or what, but Kevin Galley rebounded it right in front of the rim and just laid it back in over his head. And I thought that was a killer. I thought moving it back to 9 there and allowing another offensive rebound was demoralizing. And all night long, that was a problem. Clemson did a better job in the second half. Look, in the first half, it reminded me of the Nebraska game where Clemson was being beaten off the bounce at 3 positions. In the first half, Clemson was being regularly beaten off the bounce at essentially every position. And Florida State was getting any shot they wanted because initially every Florida State defender was winning their – every Florida State offensive player was winning their one-on-one matchups. And that's why I said – I wrote on Twitter late in the first half that I wouldn't be surprised to see Clemson come out and play some zone in the second half. And they started the second half that way. Texter asked, Walt, what is court spacing? Court spacing means this. You want your players to be about 17, 18 feet from one another, ideally. It's much tougher to guard for a defense if you have adequate court spacing between your players. If your players are too close together and you lose that, you become much easier to defend. Because when you have proper court spacing, you're creating room for players to work. You're opening up driving lanes, these type of things. So I hope that answers that question. But I think that when you watch the second half develop, again, Clemson did come out and play some zone early. I don't know. I didn't think it was especially effective, but at least it stopped the dribble penetration instantly. Then I thought in the second half, that Clemson, for the majority of the second half, did a much better job defensively, individually, than they did in the first half. Much better. But the problem was still this. Every good defensive possession ends with a clean defensive rebound. And that was the problem, is that even when Clemson played good defensive possessions, and they did string some together, in the second half, they strung some stops together, but there were still too many times where you played good defense for the entire shot clock, forced a bad shot, but couldn't collect the rebound. And that's just demoralizing. That was hurtful. The bottom line is Florida State was better last night. They were better, and they may be better than a lot of people right now. That team I watched last night, that was not the team I watched on film yesterday morning 8 games ago against Clemson. It was not. They were much more connected defensively. Much more connected defensively than they were in that first game. That first game, driving lanes were wide open. Mitchell was getting easy dribble penetration in that first game. And that's why Sims was getting so many open shots in that first game. But that was largely shut down. You know, listen, I know Clemson did not want to go up and down with Florida State. Somebody wrote me on Twitter today and said, why didn't Clemson press Florida State? You can't. Florida State's too deep. They're not Louisville in terms of how they handle the ball. And Clemson had no depth last night. So you basically couldn't. It wasn't a situation where they didn't want to. They just couldn't. You know, so that part of it was understandable to me. We'll talk more about it on the other side. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. We'll be right back.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
tax refunds are on their way, and we know you want to stretch your money as far as you can. At the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, we want to help. Right now, buy a brand new Beautyrest or Serta mattress for everyone in the family with discounts up to 70% off our everyday low pricing. And that's not all. Through February, receive an additional 10 to 15% off select Serta models during our Serta clearance sale. Don't miss out on these deals. Open 7 days a week. The Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
I'm Eddie Bennett. We're blessed with a strong economy. The upstate is growing with companies expanding, relocating, and adding employees. If you're turning dirt on a new project or an expansion, chances are you need equipment to help get the job done. With locations in Greenville and Spartanburg, as well as our newest location in Seneca, Bennett Equipment and Supply is your Takeuchi source. And we rent and sell all sorts of tools to get the job done. Remember, when you need to rent it from Bennett.
J. Grady Randolph is hiring. Specializing in flatbed hauling since 1935, JGR has deep roots in the Carolinas and proudly supports the Clemson Tigers. Start your new career today by calling 864-761-4041. J. Grady Randolph offers competitive pay and free family health care coverage. Local and regional positions available. Call 864-761-4041 or get more information online at driveforjgr.com. That's driveforjgr.com.
Cars cost less than travelers rest at George Coleman Ford, and it's never been more true than February. This month, George Coleman Ford will meet or beat any documented out-the-door price from any upstate dealer. You heard me right. Any new car, truck, SUV, George Coleman Ford will meet or beat any dealer's price. See my friends at George Coleman Ford in Travelers Rest and save big. Applies only to in-stock inventory, offers within 5 business days, price matches before applicable rebates.
With 11 different apartment communities in the Clemson area, Burton Properties wants you to know there are apartments ready for lease. In the Heritage at Riverwood and Heritage Point, they have units available for any size you need, and they are also reserving for the fall. Please visit their website at clemsonapartments.com. That's clemsonapartments.com. Or call 653-7717 or 654-1130. Burton Properties is family-owned and operated, and their family looks forward to serving you.
Do you have a used vehicle for sale? LKQ Pick Your Part is always buying used cars and trucks. Any condition. LKQ Pick Your Part wants your vehicle. We are constantly updating our inventory and will buy your used car, truck, van, or SUV. We handle the paperwork and you get paid. It's that easy. Call today. 1-800-962-2277. That's 1-800-962-2277. Not running? LKQ Pick Your Part will have your vehicle towed for you. Log on to our website for a free quote or call 1-800-962-2277 today and get paid.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Dixon up the middle, crosses the 50, picks up a couple of blocks, comes right side, gets in the numbers, crosses the 35, 30. He's at the 20, he's at the 15, he's at the 10, he's at the 5, touchdown.
We are WCCP, 105.5, The Roar.
Tip to the Red Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You want to get in and talk about what you saw last night? You're welcome to 654-7627. You know, Ramona, yesterday we talked about how all these things I had right all year, which we did. I mean, basically almost every sport. But one thing I've not had right was the Clemson basketball season, because my expectation was that Clemson was going to be much better than this. When the news of David Scarra's return came, I really felt optimistic about this season. You know, you had four senior players, and quite honestly, I expected better results than this. And look, sometimes things happen. You know, and quite honestly, they have not been as good as I thought they would be. And I think a big part of it has been Mitchell's health over the course of the year, from a game-to-game situation. You're never exactly quite sure what you're going to get with Sheldon Mitchell. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that he'll be able to continue a basketball career even in Europe. I don't know. Because I just don't know that his health will allow it when this season comes to an end. I basically had this whole season, I think, wrong fundamentally. But I was disappointed, a little disappointed last night. And then again, in watching the game last night, I mean, Florida State was just better. They were better. And if they play like that, they're going to be better than a lot of people. The bottom line with that basketball team is if they can hit enough threes to provide their bigs room to work and to keep defenses honest, they're going to be very difficult for anybody to beat. Because as I said, the Kib and Jelly kid gets better every time you see him play. I mean, he is virtually unstoppable right now. As an offensive weapon, he's virtually unstoppable. He's playing 20 minutes a game. He's doing everything he's doing. Again, 19-11 last night in 21 minutes. And it just didn't seem like he was missing. Second half, Florida State did not get him the ball as often. But texted after last year's tourney run, every Tiger fan thought they'd be in the top 25. Yeah, well, they were. I mean, they were. I just don't think they've played as well collectively as they could have. They've obviously lost some tough, very tough games and they've had no luck either. Luck is a part of every equation. They've had no luck at all. You had three games that went to the buzzer that all went against you. That's almost hard to do. And they're all very different type of circumstances. And quite honestly, things that you'll never see again. I mean, Marquise Reed missed four straight free throws. When's the last time he's done that? Has he ever done it in his Clemson career? Has he ever missed four straight free throws before he missed the four straight free throws at the end of the NC State game? Up to that point or since? I don't think so. I don't think he has. But that happened. You know, that forced bank shot at the end of a great defensive possession at the end of the Miami game, that happened. You know, the Louisville thing, you know, my guess is that if Coach Brunell had to do it over, he probably would have thrown extended pressure at Louisville a few more times in that game for 3 or 4 minute stretches. Especially when you saw how Louisville caved at the end of that game when extended pressure was thrown at them. You know, so I think it's been a disappointing season to date in terms of how this thing has played out. I will say this though, and you know, people hate this. The people who want Brad Brunell gone, which is not going to happen. The people who want Brad Brunell gone or want to complain about Clemson basketball, hate the fact right now that, or seemingly some of them hate the fact right now that they're still in it.
No, they need to be glad that they're in it. Well, I don't understand that. They hate that they're in it.
Well, and the amazing thing is, they still very much are. And people keep saying, well, you know, I knew all along they weren't a tournament team. Look, there's still a good chance they're an NCAA tournament team. I know how bad it's looked the last few games. I know the results the last few games. But there's still a really good chance this team's going to the tournament. You know, I heard a little talk earlier about what it would take and, you know, 10-8. Look, 9-9, Clemson's going to the tournament. That's a given. If Clemson goes 9-9 in the ACC, they're going to the tournament. Because other people who are in Clemson's range are going to lose. I still think Clemson's winning four of these last five. I'm not going to give them the North Carolina game because up till now, they have not shown, with the exception of the Virginia Tech game, that they can beat a team with elite talent. So I'm not going to give them, I'm not going to give them that game, but I am giving them the others. I think they'll win the other games. I think they'll beat Boston College. I think they'll beat Pitt. I think they'll beat Notre Dame. And I think they'll beat Syracuse. And the key to Syracuse is easy. It's the same key it was in the first game. You have to be willing to push the ball against Syracuse. Have to. Have to, have to, have to. Because you can't just let that zone set up. You can't let the zone set up. In the first game, you know, remember I asked Coach Brunell about this when he was on with us, and when I asked about that element after the Syracuse game, I asked, do you feel like you should have pushed the ball more and not allow that zone to set up? And he said that that was actually the plan going in, that the plan was to push it more. Remember, that's a very tight game. So now the scene will flip. Now, of course, the game at Tallahassee was a tight game, a three-point game with 4 minutes left, and flipping the scene here didn't help Clemson last night. So someone who's going to make the anti-Clemson argument right now could make that same argument, that just because the game was close at Syracuse doesn't mean it'll be close here if Syracuse is just better. The thing is, I think Clemson can do a better job at home beating that zone down the court. And look, Syracuse is very good at what they do. Don't misread me. Clemson's not going to have 20 fast break points. What I want is 10. You know, what I want is to beat the zone down the court enough to create some good shots, if not in transition, off secondary breaks, early offense. You're going to have to do some of that. That game is a ways away. But when we get to that game, that's going to be a key. There are a myriad of ways to beat the zone, but the easiest way is to beat it down the court. And even last night, you can get back in. I just lost a couple people. You can get back in. 654-7627. You want to get in, you can get in right now. Even last night, I thought that some of the best offense Clemson had in the first half, the non-Eli Thomas offense, was when Sheldon Mitchell pushed the ball. There were two consecutive possessions. It was like a, what was the score, like 23-14? I think it's what it was. It was 23-14, and then Clemson had two consecutive transition possessions for, you know, maybe the only time all game. Now, again, you didn't just want a mad up and down game with a team that has a lot more depth than you and has all those athletes. But you still have to find your spots to push the ball. In those two consecutive possessions, Mitchell pushed the ball, and Clemson got easy three-point looks. The first was for Mitchell himself, and he hit it and got fouled. The second was for Reed off of Mitchell. I don't remember. It was a transition opportunity for Reed. It was one of the best looks Reed had all game. It was seven instant quick points that cut the game from 23-14 to 23-21. There has to be more of that. This team is struggling on offense. Most of these college defenses, especially better teams, are just too good in the half court defensively not to take opportunities to push the ball. You've got to get some easy baskets to win. You know, I know all these analytics talk about three-point shooting. First of all, this is not a great three-point shooting team. And when they just stand around the perimeter and throw one pass or no passes and fire up a three, that sort of drives me crazy. I don't like seeing that in the half court because you have Eli Thomas. But I think the solution is to push it a little more. I'm not asking for wild up and down, but I think you do have to push it more because you're just not good enough in the half court to consistently execute and run your offense at a high level without getting some of those easy baskets. Tess said, yes, it was a no-look pass to Reed in the right corner. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't remember the specific the shot. I don't know why, but I know it was two consecutive transition possessions that cut into a 9-point lead and cut it to two. And I thought any time that Mitchell pushed the ball last night, I thought Clemson got a better shot. When Clemson was forced to execute in the half court, if it wasn't Thomas touching the ball, and again, Thomas was playing in the land of the Giants. If it wasn't Thomas touching the ball, then there weren't a lot of good shots. I thought the second half was obviously better in that regard for the first, 15 minutes or whatever, 12 minutes until Florida State lengthened and pushed out that lead again at the end. So there's that. Text says, well, have you ever considered going in the coach? And it's Texter 940. Why, if not? I don't know. I at one point in my life, I probably did, but now I talk about others who do. It's better. I don't get criticized as much. Well, actually, it's probably not true. But you can get in if you want, 654-7627. Listen, I thought Florida State played really well last night. I just think they were the better team. I'm not sure there's much Clemson could have done last night. I think, obviously, they could have shot the ball better. They had some looks, especially Reed. In the first half, I thought Reed's shot was a little flat, and there were about four shots of Reed's in the first half that hit every part of the rim and then just crawled off the rim. And that's generally a sign of not quite enough arc. And he doesn't put a lot of arc on his shots anyway, but that's what it looked like in the first half. Texas says FSU's bigs are going to be tough to handle for any team in the tournament. Yeah, they are. That size and length is going to be tough to handle for anybody. And as I said, the Kevin Gelly kid gets better every time I see him play. I mean, he was a monster last night. I mean, he's just a monster. And here's the thing. He can shoot over anybody because he's 6'10", he's athletic, and he has a really good touch. He had a three last night from at the top of the key. But what really impressed me about him, again, was his low block turnaround jump shot game that reminded me from a historical standpoint of Elvin Hayes. He back you down to 10, 12 feet and then just turn and shoot it over you. And there's really nothing you can do because the release point of that shot, and that thing was nestling into the rim every single time. Every one of those shots was soft. Every one of those shots he took was just a feathery touch for a guy who's 6'10". He's a problem for everybody. And again, if that team can balance their offense by hitting X number of threes per game, good luck beating them. Let me tell you about Earth Creations. You know, I went up to Traveler's Rest to visit Earth Creations about a particular product, Optinose. I had no idea what the facility was like. It's a state-of-the-art facility. I received a tour of the whole place. I mean, it just goes for miles. It's just endless. It's unbelievable. The lab itself, and the lab room was everything you would think a lab is. The whole place was white. It looked like no human being had ever entered it, except that there were human beings in it. And, you know, and every one of them was wearing a hat and a mask. And I get to speak to the doctors and the scientists behind Optinose. It's truly an amazing product. Optinose is clinically proven to increase your stamina, gain lean muscle, improve your physique, build muscle. Our body, listen to this. This is the best part of all. There may be, people are engaged in weightlifting, any of that stuff, any strength training, have probably taken nitrous oxide products, but you haven't taken Optinose. And here's the difference. Our bodies naturally use only 10 to 25% of the protein that we consume for muscle building. With Optinose, you're using over 70% of the protein you consume will be used for muscle repair and development rather than just being used as fuel. And the reason is because Optinose is working on a genetic level so that your body utilizes more carbs and fats for energy and stores more protein directly into your muscle tissues. It's the most advanced product of its kind. Optinose combines muscle building with increased endurance. The combo means you get back in shape faster. Clinical studies have proven it. Optinose will let you work out out more frequently with much less soreness. You'll be able to run further, bike further, hit the gym harder, and do it again tomorrow without a second thought. You'll increase your stamina. You'll gain muscle. You'll improve overall physique faster. You'll look good. You'll feel good. You'll improve recovery. It's for men and women. It's all natural. It's been proven safe. It's clinically tested. This is Optinose. And a bottle is a 30-day supply. You take three pills a day. You take them with your highest protein meal. And the rest, as they say, is history. And it's really affordable as well. Here's what you need to do. Go to upstatemuscle.com, upstatemuscle.com, and place your order. You'll thank me later. Walt-tip to the road rage, quick break. And also, you know, remember, before beginning any program, always check with your physician. Walt-tip to the road rage, quick break.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
Planning a spring break getaway? Well, with the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on any purchase you make today and every day. And those miles add up to get you closer to that trip to paradise. Every vanilla soy latte, double miles. Every time you pump gas, double miles. Even when you buy a set of Monogram beach towels, yep, double miles. You earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, and then you go. The Capital One Venture Card, the card that takes you there. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank, USA N.A.
Are you craving a juicy steak cooked just the way you want it? The Blue Heron in Clemson offers only the best selection of meats, sushi, sides, house-made pizza, drinks, and desserts. Join them for happy hour 7 days a week at the downstairs bar, open until midnight. Catch the game on big screen TVs with your friends. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit blueheronfood.com for full menu and more information. That's blueheronfood.com.
J. Grady Randolph is hiring. Specializing in flatbed hauling since 1935, JGR has deep roots in the Carolinas and proudly supports the Clemson Tigers. Start your new career today by calling 864-761-4041. J. Grady Randolph offers competitive pay and free family health care coverage. Local and regional positions available. Call 864-761-4041 or get more information online at driveforjgr.com. That's driveforjgr.com.
Start the new year off right with a visit to Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. They have everything you're looking for, including the new 2019 Ford models and a great selection of certified pre-owned vehicles. Get 0% financing for 60 months on select 2018 models. Edwards Auto Sales has a full body shop and rentals are available too. Visit the dealer that has been voted Oconee's number one new car dealer, Edwards Auto Sales, your full service Ford dealer on Highway 28 in Walhalla, the trusted Ford dealer for over 50 years.
This is Jared Burton on behalf of Burton Properties. My family owns and manages over 800 one- and two-bedroom apartments in the Clemson area. With safe and comfortable living, along with a friendly staff, Burton Properties can accommodate your apartment needs. You can visit the website at clemsonapartments.com or call one of our office numbers at either 653-7717 or 654-1130. Once again, that's Burton Properties, your friendly apartment leader in the Clemson area.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, sir, you're a genius.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Feel it coming in the air. Yeah. Hear the screams from everywhere. Yeah. I'm addicted.
I'm ready. It's a dangerous Walt Tiptoe, Red Rage. We're WCCP 105.5, where we are back. You know, two texts. One, just as Walt, these FSU bigs kill my bracket again like they did last year. They've got to come through tourney time at some point, right? They made the Elite Eight last year. I think people forget that. I think they lost to, I want to say they lost to Michigan, but they made the Elite Eight last year. So they had a really good run last year. And they're back and I think seemingly better right now. So, I mean, if you want to talk about how far Florida State's going to go, I mean, obviously we'll need to see the brackets, but I like what I see of this team. I mean, they look like an Elite Eight team to me right now. Texas says, does South Carolina have any chance of the tournament this year playing good basketball of late? Absolutely. That was a big win for South Carolina last night, and the schedule's pretty favorable the rest of the way. You keep winning and keep improving that league record, it's going to be hard to leave you out of it despite the OSA. So, you know, keep playing well. There's still a lot of basketball to be played, which is what people just don't want to see or don't want to admit to. Texas says, Walt, where does Clemson fit talent-wise in the league? Love the show. That's a really good question. And the reason it's a good question is because some of the individual talent looks pretty good. Like Marquise Reed has had a really good overall statistical stat sheet stuffing type of year. Elijah Thomas is one of the better post players in the country, not just the ACC. I mean, you can make a case that Elijah Thomas deserves first team all league consideration. So, you know, unfortunately, they've just not had enough consistent shooting or offense. And, you know, I was pretty optimistic when David Scar hit that first three last night to start the game, but he basically didn't do much offensively after that. Now, again, his role on this team is still primarily as a defensive stopper, and last night had to be as a rebounder as well. I mean, obviously, Duke and North Carolina, Virginia are more talented teams. I don't know. I would need to think about that. I would need to think about where they fit exactly talent-wise. I would say Syracuse probably has more talent overall. Florida State obviously has more talent overall. I mean, Florida State, from a talent standpoint, they're one of the top teams in the country. I mean, the three most talented teams in the ACC are Duke, North Carolina, and probably Florida State, even above Virginia. Especially when you consider all that depth of talent. You know, obviously Virginia has Guy, Jerome, and Hunter, but the talent drops off dramatically after those three guys. Now, Hunter is incredible. Hunter, to me, is Scottie Pippen at the same stage. That's who he's always reminded me of. I've been saying that forever, and I think he's going to be a great pro. I think Hunter's going to be one of these guys like a Julius Erving or like a Scottie Pippen that becomes a better pro than he was as a college player. Not that Julius wasn't great at UMass. Clemson dad. Texter says Clemson.
Hey, Deptula, how are you, man?
Hold on 1 second, Clemson dad. Texter 940 says Clemson's talent seems to depend on what night it is. Yeah, to a degree. Again, the consistent guy has been Thomas. Thomas has been the consistent guy. It's just, you know, do the refs let him play? Can he stay on the court? That type of thing. So there's that. Go ahead, Clemson dad. Appreciate you getting in.
Oh, no problem. I was going to talk about the Alabama coaches. I don't know if you talked about this today. I've been in and out of the truck, but it's like a carousel down there, Walt. Like 7 of the 10 position coaches that are named are new or have been there.
Yeah.
There's only 3 that returned from last year, if I'm not mistaken. So is it just because of Nick Saban?
I think that's part of it. I think Nick Saban's a really difficult guy to work for. Yeah, I think he's very demanding, and I think people use the Alabama situation to quickly enhance their status, and then they look for an exit. And then Saban is also bringing in guys that other schools might not bring in, cast-offs, guys with personal issues, because he can. And in large part, that's worked for him. I think that he was hurt this past year, and certainly in the game against Clemson, I think from a continuity standpoint, or Clemson's continuity, I think certainly provided them an advantage.
Right. Well, he's Sarkisian, from what I understand, is the new offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Sarkisian is a bright mind. I mean, people can say what they want about him, but he's a bright mind. He was not the problem in Atlanta this year. I mean, that stuff was laid on him. That offense produced really well. He's not the problem that Matt Ryan can't find Julio Jones, and he had nothing to do with the defense that didn't stop anybody all year because they were injured.
Right.
Clemson, Dad?
Yeah, hello.
Okay.
Sorry.
Were you done?
No, I haven't. No. But I was going to ask you about the Steelers. I saw where Le'Veon, they're not going to place a tag on him.
Yeah, he's gone. He's a free agent.
So they're done with everybody.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of
him. I think that's okay, Walt.
Yeah, I do too. It's exactly what they should have done. It's exactly what they would have done traditionally. Right. Get rid of Bell. Get rid of Antonio Brown. They're both problems. That leaves you with just one problem child. And when there's only one problem child, you'd probably be okay. But you had to get rid of at least two of those guys. And the one you weren't going to get rid of was the quarterback, because you don't have any other options at that position. Meanwhile, Juju Smith-Schuster has developed into a number one caliber receiver. And perhaps just as importantly, they really love Washington, and with good reason, from Oklahoma State. And he is basically a running back with the ball. And I thought he got better, showed a lot of signs preseason, got better during the year. And I think they're really, really high on Washington basically being able to fill that void left by Brown. And then with the whatever picks they get, for whatever deal they're able to consummate regarding Brown, they'll certainly use one of those on drafting another receiver. Meanwhile, James Conner has taken over the running back position and has played really well. Now, he's a totally different style of runner than Le'Veon Bell. And the offensive line, in terms of how they block, had to adjust to that style. But they've already done that. And so you don't really want to go back to Bell anyway. You know, so they've already...
No.
And those two guys, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, both played really well. There's a lot of good signs. So I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be hurt by these moves at all. I think their culture is going to benefit.
What about quarterback, Walt? I mean, you know, I know you don't think much of Mason Rudolph from Rock Hill, but are they going to draft somebody in this draft?
Well, I mean, they've done that a couple times now. They drafted Dobbs, they drafted Rudolph, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to play let's make a deal at the quarterback position. That's not how you get quarterbacks. I've said this a million times. NFL, obviously, there are outliers, there are aberrations, rare exceptions, but as a rule, NFL quarterbacks come out of round one and occasionally the top of round two. But NFL quarterbacks come from round one. If you want one, you have to be bold. You have to be aggressive. You have to go get one. You have to target a guy like the Kansas City Chiefs did, and you have to go get him. And the problem is that you go back to the juvenile Roethlisberger, because Roethlisberger made it clear. He basically threw a public tantrum about when they went and got Mason Rudolph. And so if you were to dare, if you're Pittsburgh, make some bold move to try and move up the draft and go grab a quarterback, you can be sure Roethlisberger is going to throw another tantrum. You know, but at some point, you have to make decisions regardless of what Roethlisberger wants. You know, you have a franchise to run. So at some point, you're going to make big boy decisions. And I think finally, to some degree, the Steelers have. Brown left them no choice. And really, Bell left them no choice either. But Texter just wrote, Ben doesn't allow legitimate quarterbacks to be drafted. That's right. And that's why you get to this issue of whether Mike Tomlin is enough of a disciplinarian. Is he in control of that franchise? And for the most part, it would appear the answer is no.
I'm not convinced. No.
No.
And he's been a good coach over the years. He's got some, you know, something under his belt. But still, I just think he's lost control in some kind of way. I don't know.
There's no question he has. I mean, there's no question that that the players have taken control of that team, and now the remaining question is, with two of the three prima donnas exiled, can you control the one prima donna, and can you get things back on track? And maybe you can. Maybe you can.
Right.
You know, Roethlisberger is still playing well enough to win. But what you need to find is more balance in that offense. And but at some point, and it won't be long. You know, again, the strangest part of the whole Roethlisberger thing is it's a guy who threatens to leave at the end of every year. And yet when the team responds to that by wanting to seek a quarterback, he throws a tantrum. Right. You know, listen, stop threatening to leave every year, and then maybe they won't find a need to draft a quarterback.
Just commit.
Yep. Thank you, Clemson Dad.
Hey, can I take this off the other side?
Quick.
About baseball?
Quick.
Bryce Harper turned down multiple deals I saw on CBS Sports for over $300 million. What do you think about that, Walt?
I think he's a clown show, bro. I gotta go. I'll talk about it on the other side. Let me tell you about Priority One. I think he's a clown show, bro. Let me tell you about Priority One for all your security needs. There's no place like Priority One. Look, they're great people, first of all. They've matched every dollar we raised in the Tigers for Tata's campaign the last 2 years. That's just special stuff. They're active in your community. One day, if your family has not suffered from cancer as yet, you will. And it may happen. And it may happen to your family. It will certainly happen to your family at some point. And Priority One is active in your community and trying to cure cancer. That's not enough to let them protect you. This is, we live in a world full of nuts. I watched the news today. I mean, are you kidding me? I'm not telling you what to do or when to do it. Security is a personal decision. Priority One, tip of the spear in technology, fastest response time in the industry, total customization. 288-1400, 288-1400. Tell them I sent you. Joe, you're next.
Safely in the Priority One studios, we are WCCP, Clemson Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Does your home have wall cracks, uneven floors, or doors and windows that are sticking? These are all signs that a foundation problem is stealing value from your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 475-1671. We know your home is your number one investment, and we can help protect it. Don't wait for a foundation problem to get worse. If you have sagging floors or cracks in your sheetrock, call Canty Foundation Specialist, 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Hey guys, this is Taj Boyle with Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It's been a great year for Tiger football and for Lakeside Lodge. We want to say thank you for welcoming us to the Clemson family. Construction is well underway, and there are a handful of luxury condos remaining. If you haven't gotten yours yet, call us today to schedule a tour or come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard. Trust me, you'll want to be a part of this Lakeside Lodge, Clemson. It belongs here, and so do you.
Well, locally owned and operated for 55 years, Clark's Termite and Pest Control was founded by doing one thing, killing bugs, the crawling, flying, biting, digging, burrowing kind of bugs that you don't want in your home or business. Bugs are more active this time of year, and the Clark's is here to help you get rid of them. Clark's work is guaranteed, and they offer many different services to help fit your needs and budget. Visit clarkspest.com or call 864-233-BUGS. Again, that's clarkspest.com, 864-233-BUGS.